I used to say, find your seats, but if you can't find your seat, you're really in trouble. All right, please take out your Bible markers, and you will see that Monday, when I'm studying in the Word on Monday, I am making a commitment to the privilege of showing up before God daily in prayer and in His Word. Now let's read this together. And what is it that we're reading? We're reading an exercise tool. Now, because your devotional lives are so powerful, you don't need this tool. So you may as well just tear this up and throw it away. It's, you know, you're wasting your time. Okay? Let's read it together. I am committed to showing up before God daily, to stand before you in prayer for myself, my loved ones, and your purposes as we build my life together on your holy word. That is the foundation of life in the way of the Lord. Thy word, O God, is truth. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So that when I am spending my time with God in the morning, and by the way, you may not be spending time in the morning. You may think you can do it some other time, and I've tried that too, but let me tell you something. The Scripture over and over and over and over and over talks about rising up early in the morning to be with the Lord. Now, some of you have heard my testimony. This summer, my family and myself went on a sabbatical, and it was on the sabbatical that I encountered God in the way that I am describing to you right now. And I'm not a novice. But I've never been here before. I've never been here before. And he said this to me. He said, Dennis, what are you doing the level of things you are doing with the level of me that you're experiencing? I was standing out by a horse corral. It was one of those words that hit me in mid-stride and I almost froze. Because the Holy Spirit penetrated me so deep and I realized the unbelievable presumption in my life to be touching the level of things that I touch in my ministry on the foundation of time that I had been spending with Him. Now, my prayer life would probably have compared relatively favorably with anybody else's in here. But some of what I'm touching is a whole lot more than probably a lot of you are touching because of what I'm doing. That's not what a good boy am I. That's what a fool I am. That's what pride is operating in me. What presumption is operating in me to presume to do some of the things that I've done on the level of the lack of time that I had been investing with Him. And it hit me right between the eyes. The next thing he said to me, he said, Dennis, another one of your major problems is that you share truth with people without giving them practical things to do to work out what you share. Now, I know how to teach in the natural. I think I'm a fairly good teacher in the natural. And if I was going to teach you to do something that I really know how to do in the natural, I'm going to give you exercises until you turn blue. Because I understand that if you do not practice what you've heard, you won't do it. Because the only way you know something is that it's so worked into you that it is a natural response requiring no thought. Now, let me give you a definition of character. Character is what you naturally do without thought. Character is what you naturally do without thought. Now, the way of the Lord stands before God in such a way that the Holy Spirit is working into you the exercises in your life that He wants you to practice until those things are second nature. They become character. Now, does anybody want to argue with me? I will now entertain arguments. Does anybody want to argue with me, especially because the Scripture says first the natural, then the spiritual, that anybody in here can naturally do something and execute excellence without practicing a ton? Does anybody want to argue? No takers, huh? Because everybody in here knows that the only way you ever learn how to do anything well is by practicing, 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 practicing. You know what the Bible calls that? Calls it a disciple. A disciplined one. One who is under the disciplines of God. Not one who is waiting for God to do things or reckoning back to what He did, but taking what He did, extracting what God has given you in it, and pumping that thing until it is so deeply incarnated in you that it becomes your character. Say amen if you understand what I'm saying. Say amen if you wish you didn't understand what I'm saying. Okay? Because we don't want to live this kind of life. Now, how many of you are battling right now that what I'm talking about is works? Let me see. Well, let's get honest. Anybody in here? Okay, raise your hand high. I'm really surprised that's all there is. There's got to be more. Okay? I am not talking about works. Because it is God who works in you to give you the exercise routine by what shows up in your life. See, I can't determine the workout routine because I'm not God. Who determines the workout routine? God. That's why He is allowing you to experience the same stuff over and over and over. It isn't karma, by the way. It's over and over and over and over because God is trying to get through our thick heads what our workout routine is so that we can start practicing the truths that are antidotal to that problem. Say amen if that just penetrated you. Okay? There is a tremendous spiritual conspiracy to keep us from seeing that God's smarter than us, and in fact, this stuff isn't just happening contrary to what it says on the bumper stickers. Okay? See, that's the ultimate fatalistic view of life. This, the stuff that has happened in your life and is happening again and again, is something that God is permitting to get you to say, oh, golly gee, Mr. Science, maybe there's something behind this. Maybe there's a reason that all this stuff is coming down this way. Maybe God is trying to say something to me about the stuff He wants me to work on. Well, maybe so. Now, let me get ugly. Sorry, but I'm going to do it. Our time with the Lord in His Word and in prayer is what I call the fat man scale. The fat man scale. What is the fat man scale? The fat man scale is what you really weigh when you get on it. How many of you said, Jesus, get into this thing. How many of you have ever been guilty of jimmying around with the little dial on that thing? Okay. Okay, you didn't want it to say what it said. You wanted it to say something else, okay? But hear me now. Hear me now. This is hard. It's hard, but it's true. How you stand before the Lord is what you really weigh. That's what you really weigh. Because it shows the degree of reality that you are walking in. Okay, Holy Spirit, help us now. Okay, those of you that, and I'm going to assume you're all Christians. If you're not, stay with me. You're going to hear some stuff that will help you wherever you are. If we know God, how can we presume to go through one single day without starting the day with Him? How can we do that? How can we do that? The only way we can do it is if there is a conspiracy that we have somehow bought into, that we really don't need Him that much to do, or rather to be and to do what we want to be and do. We really don't need Him that much. That's why it's the fat man's scale. That's why it shows where you and I are really at. It is the ultimate acid test, because it shows how we view God. He's either that important or He isn't that important. Now, that isn't to make you feel condemned. That's to get you to the point where you start asking some gut, hard, honest questions. What is there in me that is conspiring against reality that makes me believe that I can get up and go through my day without being filled with His presence before I get into it? Whatever that is your enemy. How many of you can raise your hands and say, whatever that is my enemy? Are you in reality here? Am I in the right place? Okay. Whatever, and it may be different. It probably is different. It is different for all of us, although it's variations on the theme. Whatever that is keeps us out of life. Whatever that is. Now, I could go through how I pray. I don't feel to do much of that. Let me just say this. My prayer work is on this sheet. This is what God has given me. When I start out my day, I begin with the principle of the day. Let me tell you what's going to blow your minds. I want to challenge you. This is me in your face challenging you. I want to challenge you tomorrow to pray Friday's prayer and watch what happens. You say, Dennis, it's theory. I can't reach it. You're not reaching me. I challenge you in the name of Jesus Christ. Take Friday, commit yourself to it when you read the Word, and watch what God shows up in your life. I challenge you. You like a good challenge? I challenge you. I challenge you to begin working out with God. Now, that's the first thing I do, is I begin with the day. And you know what's absolutely incredible? The commitments that I make largely determine what I experience in the day. I think I'm going nuts. I finally found life in a way that I didn't even know was possible! Because God's in the workout routine. See, you came here to get hurt or get healed from your hurt. The healing is in the workout routine. Now, you may have some experiences that will pole vault you over certain other things, but you're going to have to pump iron. And as you do, the Holy Spirit is so faithful to begin to make show up in that day what you committed yourself to stand in victory over. It blows my mind. It blows my mind. Now, just real quickly, my prayer sheet, and by the way, I'm glad that you have notes, because when you show up without ready to take notes, what does that tell me about you? It tells me you're here to listen but not do. Because you either think you've got total recall or you think you're going to listen to the tape. Okay? In either case, you're showing me where you're really at. Because if you're really into something, you're into it. You're not going to trust. You see, that's one of the great problems in the body of Christ. People show up to church. People show up to one teaching after another, demonstrating their lack of commitment to practice anything because they don't even have the tools to write down what's going to be required to be practiced. By the way, I'm going to challenge people wherever I go from now on that. You will be embarrassed when I teach if you don't show up with paper and pen, because what you're saying to God, your neighbor, and yourself is, oh, I think I'll just casually stroll through this and I don't have any intention of using it. Isn't that the truth? Anybody want to try and argue your way out of that with total recall? I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. What am I trying to do? I'm trying to get you on the fat man scale. I'm trying to get you to look at where you're really at and what that means when we show up without the tools of any intention of using what we're hearing. And that's why we are where we are. Okay? I was sharing with the Genesis students this morning, my ministry began, and Jan and Jerry can tell you, this teaching ministry began in a very simple situation. I was delivering flowers in a truck. I was memorizing the word between stops. God showed me something of great significance, at least at that time in my insight. I forgot it. I went in to tell Jan, believing the Holy Spirit would call it to my remembrance, quoting that verse back to him, and he said, I am done talking with you until you show up with a paper and a pen. Because if what I'm saying to you is not important enough to write down, I'm not going to give you any more time. How many of you believe I showed up the next day with a paper and pen? And from then on, and Jerry is my witness, then on, Jan is my witness, I had a clipboard with me in that truck, and from then on, I wrote down what the Holy Spirit said to me. Any of you who've ever been around me, you'll see me pulling this wallet out and taking this pen out and writing notes to myself fast and furious in many situations. That's because I have practiced the truth of writing down what God is saying to me, because I don't have total recall and I can't get the tape from God. Okay? Now, you may think I'm an eccentric, but I want to tell you something. I'm pumping it. I am not presuming on the Holy Spirit to do what He told me to do. That's why my prayer sheet is very carefully written out. The specific people and things and situations that I'm praying about. Now, let me give you a colossal clue to life. Here's a keeper. If your prayer list is bigger than you have the grace to pray over, you're doing things you're not supposed to do. Because you only have the grace to pray for what God has brought into your life. Hello? Hello? Am I communicating to anybody who says, I don't know what my priorities are. I can't sort out what I should be doing. Let me help you with God's way of sorting out your priorities. What you don't have the grace to pray over, you're not supposed to be doing. Now, how many of you besides me have made your priorities something that was really complicated? It's no longer complicated for me. In fact, I can actually feel the Holy Spirit in intensity over the people and situations that I'm praying over, and it gives me clues to the ones that He wants me to put more energy into than less. Because when you start pronouncing blessing, and by the way, I got a bunch of people on here on this list who I bless every day. Why do I bless them? Because I love them. Can I, don't get guilty. Don't anybody get guilty, because The enemy's going to want to make you feel guilty. But here's my question. How can you not be blessing the people you love on a daily basis? Don't say, brother, I love you, I love you, I love you. Yeah, you may love me, but if you really love me like Christ loves me, whoever lives to make intercession for me, you're going to be speaking blessing over my life. Or, maybe not me in particular, but you will be speaking blessings daily over the lives of the people that God has called you to be involved with. How do I know who I'm supposed to be involved with? It's the ones I have the grace and the inner compulsion to speak blessing on their life every day. And if I miss somebody for whatever reason, and I, you know, by God's grace, I don't miss very often now, but if I miss somebody, my prayer is, Lord Jesus, call to my attention the people that you want me to speak blessings on. What are the blessings I speak? I speak physical safety, spiritual safety, emotional release. I speak financial provision. I speak functioning authority. I speak sensitivity to the Holy Spirit to that person today. I speak a conscience conformed to the Word of God. I speak loyalty in them and loyalty in the people around them. I speak a spirit of forgiveness. I speak fearlessness on their lives. I speak strategic living on their mind today with planned principles. I speak care on their family down to the third generation. And by the time I've gone through the people that I love, it doesn't matter if I'm with them, because my fellowship is with them before God. My fellowship is with them before God. Now, I'm not saying this as a super saint. I'm not a super saint. All I'm doing is I'm getting in touch with the reality of how I feel about these people. And that's why I'm saying it is as we stand before the Lord, first is where we really stand with one another. Because we can shine each other on, and we can play games with each other, and we can get really skilled at it too. But you can't fool God. You can't fool God as to where you're really at. And it's very interesting as you start praying blessing upon people, what you find out coming up in your spirit. It's very interesting, very revealing. I pray through the cities that I'm working in. I pray blessing on the leaders in those cities. I pray blessing on the countries that I'm working in Central America and New Zealand and Australia and in Europe. And then I've got a group of people that God has called me to speak blessing upon their lives because I am covenantally joined to them. Now, those of you that may want some more specifics as to how to pray blessings on people, maybe we can talk at a break. But I know one of the biggest reasons that we don't pray is we're searching for some kind of a cosmic prayer life, and all God wants us to do is begin with the basics of speak blessing on the lives of the people that you love. How many of you, if somebody was praying for you today, started this day, and I did for this guy right here, that his conscience would be conformed to the Word of God and nothing else? I do not want my conscience conformed to my will. I don't want it conformed to my heart, because my heart is wicked. My conscience must be conformed to the Word of God and nothing else. And because I'm committed to Him, I'm committed to pray that blessing on him and Vicky and their kids. And the thing where I stand right now before the Lord is I can no longer honestly say that I'm really joined to somebody or love somebody if I'm not willing to stand on their behalf before Christ. Because something is fundamentally wrong with my confession. Now, here's the question. Here's the question. If you believe this, why aren't you doing it? We're going to look at some reasons here momentarily as to why. Now, I want to crank it up. Everybody get ready for a crank. I have discovered the secret of secrets. I have discovered that the way Jesus read the book was like this. Wow, that's me. That's me! I was in Psalm 89 last week. The Holy Spirit allowed me to touch the mind of Jesus, what He went through the first time He began to see Himself in Psalm 89. I thought I'd go crazy. The Son of God had His omniscience removed when He found Himself as a man, so that He had to find His life in the book just like you and me. Because it's the way of the Lord. It's the way the Lord lives. And because I now have found this secret, I can stand before God every single day and do, saying, Father, in the name of Jesus, open up my destiny and open up this day that I might, as Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3:17, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of God, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory by the Spirit. You know why you're not reading the Word? Because you haven't used the mirror yet. You haven't understood that God's Word is the mirror of Christ, and in the Word is your day, day to day. In the Word is what you really are and what you really look like. I've moved from devotions to a mirror. Just like Jesus. Why do you think He was quoting the Word all the time? He spent 30 years finding Himself in this, so that when He finally got out into what He was doing, He could see it being fulfilled. What had been written would be fulfilled. This is life. It isn't about life, it is life. Dig yourself. Say, the book is dead. There's no life in it. It's hard for me to study. Find the mirror. It's what Jesus did. It is the way of the Lord. And you and I have no other way to go if we're His disciples. Because disciples do what the Master did. We're not looking for a devotional experience. We're not talking about having your quiet time. We're talking about a whole another dimension. His Word. Now, in your notes, you've got a lot of Bible verses, and I don't feel led to go through all these things. That's why I put them in your notes. The Word is objectivity. Now, what I want you to do is turn to page 5, and there is a survey sheet. It's called Life Privilege Number 1, Showing Up Before God Daily in Prayer and in His Word. And what we're going to do is, the way we're going to go through this seminar is, I'm going to give you an opportunity to write down your stories, and then we're going to share our stories so that we can see the conspiracy is in all of us. It just shows up a little different, so that we can start busting it. Okay? So you have 10 minutes to fill out this worksheet. Now, why do I want you to keep the manual? Because you're going to come back to this. Here's what we're doing. Some of you guys know what I'm saying, okay? We're putting a tape measure around your bicep right now in terms of your revelation of the Word of God and what it really means to you. And what we're going to do is, we're going to get a measurement. And the reason I want you to keep that manual and make it a workout manual is, you're going to take your measurement in 6 or 8 weeks. And you're going to see if your muscles have grown in the Spirit because you practically exercised. Does anybody want to hear fuss with me and say, Dennis, this isn't practical enough? Anybody want to argue with me and say, this is too high, I can't hear it, or this is too low, I can't practice it? There's no way out of this one, guys. There's no way out of this one. So what I'd like you to do is, we're going to take 10 minutes, and then we're going to go over this thing as a group. I'm going to give you some workout tips, and we'll start into Life Privilege Number 2. So begin right now, if you would, please. Is, He will say to you, get up and be with me anyway, and remember that tonight when you decide to watch TV or do whatever you're doing, remember how tired you were this morning and do something about it tonight, so that when you show up with me tomorrow, maybe you won't be so tired. Maybe you won't be so tired. Now, I don't know how long this is going to last. I do not know, may it last forever. But the Lord actually is waking me up, and has been for months and months and months, at His appointed hour. I don't like His hour. I'm not into His hour, but when He wakes me up, I tell you something, I wake up with a grin on my face. I cannot tell you, well, let me just put it this way, being with Him is the most exciting part of my day. I got up at 5 this morning. I had a prayer meeting at 6:30. But it was the most exciting part of my day, from 5 to 6:30, of being with Him. I feel like a little kid. I am a little kid. I'm not only a fool, I'm a little kid. Okay? Now, that is the Lord calling. It's the Lord calling. How many of you would like the Lord to call you? Yeah, no. It doesn't depend what time, because when He calls, the trip is worth the going. Okay? Okay, one more thing, and then we're going to move on and we'll finish here in 5 or 10 minutes max. Here's what I would like you, I'd like to invite you to start praying this. Lord, reveal my workout routine. And don't call the Holy Spirit the devil when He does. I am so grateful the Holy Spirit's got thick skin, because I've rebuked Him in the name of the Lord more than I ever want to tell you. Okay? Ask the Lord to begin to reveal your workout routine. Now, what is that going to look like? If you heard me, you know. What is it going to look like when God begins to reveal your workout routine? What's it going to look like? Yeah, but now what is it going to look like? Come on now, help me. I'll hold my breath and turn blue. What is your workout routine going to look like? It's going to look like the failures that you are going through, the things that are challenging you and making you feel inadequate, unprepared, you're failing. Whatever it is that you are experiencing in your life that is causing you to get crunched is your workout routine. Then the question in prayer is, Father, show me what is it that is in that situation that I can't deal with? Because that's what I got to start pumping iron over. That's what I have to get from you as my Lord and my Christ. You're going to give me the clues in my life to where I'm weak and where you want to strengthen me. And you're going to give me the clues as to the people that you want me to give myself to in terms of strengthening them. And you're going to put them on my prayer list. And I'm going to start blessing them. Excuse me. Go ahead, Mike. You got me on? Am I on? Good. Hope I'm on. Okay, here's an interesting phenomena. Even if you don't care enough about yourself to pray, and to some degree that's true of all of us, there are people you love more than you love yourself, and you will begin to find God's prayer life as you give yourself to those people. Okay? Some of you've got, and look back on the hurts. The hurts are healed as we give ourselves to those we love. The hurts are healed not by navel gazing. The hurts are healed by giving ourselves to those we love. That is the way of the cross. Okay, who do you love enough, or who do you love more than yourself, that even if you won't get up to pray for yourself, you will get up to pray for them? Raise your hand if you hear what I'm saying. Okay, let's take a couple of minutes just to blow the dust off life privilege number two. Okay, turn your little Bible bookmarker, which will now permanently be in your Bible as a haunting reminder of this seminar. Okay? Very practical, isn't it? I am committed. Let's say this together. I am committed, Father, to accept your sovereign choices for me and to use them as you intend to make me strong and to help reveal my destiny. Okay? Now, we need to begin by understanding that life is not fair because God is not into fair. He is into maturing us. He is into justice and righteousness because His throne is established on those truths. Now, I'm going to do B, and we'll quit on B. God is a strategic thinker who builds from the end back to the beginning. He dwells outside of time in what we call eternity. Hang on, I'll explain this to some degree. He sees and monitors what is coming into our lives in the context of what He wants us to be 10,377 years from now. Okay? Perspective is everything. The backside of a patterned rug usually looks like a mess
to the untrained eye. Okay? How many of you believe, as you look at your life, that it looks like a mess? That's only because you're looking at the backside of the rug. Now, we're going to deal with a stronghold right now. Get ready, Lord Jesus, help us. The stronghold is that life has happened to us rather than God has engineered our life. Now, the Bible says He has counted the number of hairs on your head. I wonder if you believe that. The Bible says that He knows your thoughts afar off. The Bible says that He knew you in your mother's womb. The Bible says He is your life and the length of your days. He knows exactly the day you'll die and exactly the minute you'll die. We're talking about a God who is involved on a pretty intimate, detailed level, aren't we? So we've got all the right theology. The problem is we don't believe that because we've got strongholds operating in us to keep us from that reality, because if we actually believe that He is involved in our life on that detailed a level, we're going to start paying attention on a level that we haven't wanted to pay attention. Because if you pay attention, what does it bring with it? Responsibility. And we don't want to take responsibility. Therefore, we keep His sovereignty distanced from us. Now, when you show up before the Lord on Tuesday mornings and you make your daily commitment, Lord, I commit myself to Your sovereign choices in my life, and whatever You're serving up today, I'm going to eat. I'm not going to run. I'm not going to jive. I'm not going to make stories. I'm not going to juke. I'm not going to do play games. I'm going to deal with what Your sovereignty serves up for me today. Now, as I'm about to go into Your Word, show me what You want to prepare me for today so that when it shows up, I'll worship You and bless You because You were preparing me for it. See, the reason that our Bible study is religious is because we haven't found the mirror. And we haven't asked Him, you have not because you ask not, you ask amiss. We haven't asked Him, Lord, out of my commitment to You, show me what I need to prepare myself for what You're going to bring to pass. Now, do you believe, can anybody stretch your faith and I'm done for tonight? The beatings will resume tomorrow night, same time, same place. Okay? Can you believe that God... How many of you are beginning to see the possibility that God can get involved with you in a whole new way? A whole new way that is not religious. It isn't a quiet time. It isn't your devotional time. You're not going to get your religious goodies. What you're going to get is the mirror, because He is going to show you your life just like He did Jesus. I was sharing with the prayer team I work with in the morning this morning. Isaiah prophesied little details like when you get crucified, they'll pull your whiskers out. Not bad, 680 years in advance. What do you think he did when he saw that in the mirror? I wish I had 2 days to do nothing but talk to you about the revelation of Christ in the Old Testament and the changes it put him through as he read it.
He had 2 days to go through the Psalms and talk about what Jesus Christ was experiencing as he beheld his life in the mirror of God's Word. Boy, it's enough to give you the faith of God. Amen. But what I'd like to do is I'd like to pray like this. I would like to pray, and will pray, that God is going to reveal to you whatever it is that is standing between you and Him. Then you're going to curse that. Then you're going to ask Him to give you something practical to do. Okay? So that at least this weekend, if you come, you're going to begin to do something with what you're hearing rather than say, 4-3, gong, ding. Good, bad, no, indifferent. He should have said this. He shouldn't have said that. I didn't like him when he did that. Da, 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 da. All of which is designed to take the responsibility off you in terms of finding the Lord. Amen. Lord Jesus. Oh, God, have mercy on us. Break the power of the conspiracies, Father, that have kept us out of reality. Whatever they are in our lives, Father, we curse them in the name of Jesus. Father, we want to make a fresh start. You're the God of daily manna. We want to make a fresh start. Father, we are committed to making a fresh start. Not out of guilt, but because we want to discover our lives in You. And Lord, because we want to pray blessings on those that You have given to us to love. Holy Spirit, we're asking You right now, this weekend, to have everybody here who is serious about standing before You invest some time in their prayer sheet, seeking You as to the priorities and the people that You want them, that You have called them to stand before You in a daily basis. Father, let commitment come into this room. Holy Spirit, let a commitment of love come into this room right now that will allow us to make current those that You put into our heart to speak blessings upon. Father, rest us, prepare us, get us ready to do business with You tomorrow night. We ask in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen. God bless you.